Good morning. I'm so glad to be here with you this morning again. I hope you knew that I'm going to speak this morning. Just to avoid this feeling, oh, Stan is not here. I'm so sorry. Why did I come at all? Just, well, you know, I'm different than Stan. Stan is way better, but hopefully we will keep you spiritually entertained enough for you not to be frustrated that you came to the marathon class this morning. I want to start with a couple of songs that Ina is going to sing for us. And these songs are the songs of praise and worship. It's in Hebrew, it's in English. I hope you will enjoy it. Being here, it's important to have this treat as well, not just me speaking.
It is really a privilege to be here and to be able to sing for the Lord, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. The first song is in Hebrew, and it comes from Psalm 72. Some verses there, you just think, about whom is this? Has this been said? It's, may he come down like rain upon the mown grass, like showers that water the earth. In his days, may the righteous flourish, and abundance of peace till the moon is no more. And let all kings bow down before him, all nations serve him. May his name endure forever. May his name increase as long as the sun shines. Blessed be the Lord God, the God of Israel, who alone works wonders, and blessed be his glorious name forever. Oops, yeah. Ah.
Shema Shiloh Shmo, Vayibarchu V'kol Goyim.
We keep enjoying our time here in Dallas. It's a huge blessing for us. I started teaching my class at Dallas Seminary, and it's going really well. Great group of students. I will probably give you more updates next time I'm here and have my 7 minutes to report about ministry, but now I'm coming directly to the subject I was going to teach this morning. There is a small, like, short test about your knowledge, concerning your knowledge of the Jewish people here in Dallas area, but also in United States. Actually, I don't remember whether I mentioned the Pew Research survey results here in this room before or not, but there was a question asked of the Jewish people in this survey, and the question was, what does it mean to be Jewish? And now, dwell on this question for a couple of seconds. What does it mean to be Jewish? It's a question that usually indicates how well we understand the Jewish community. Even in Messianic Jewish congregations, asking these questions gives completely different result than the Jewish people in United States percentage-wise give to. So just I repeat the question, what does it mean to be Jewish? And the Jewish people in the United States answer in percentage, eating traditional Jewish foods, 14%. Observing Jewish law, 19%. Being part of a Jewish community, 28%. Having good sense of humor, 42%. Caring about Israel, 43%. Just 43%. Just think about it. Among, I would say, like, white evangelical Christians, it's 84%. It's double as much. And now, general public in the United States, more than 50%. So the Jewish people support Israel or as part of their Jewish identity less than an average American. It blows my mind. Well, I continue. Being intellectually curious, 49%. Working for justice and equality, we are good people, 56%. Leading ethical, moral life, we're, as I said, we're good people, 69%. But it's not the top of the list. Now we are coming to the most common response to this question, and it is remembering Holocaust, 73%. Can you see the Jewish identity marker in United States these days? It's remembering Holocaust. We are Jewish people. We are people of Holocaust in our mind, in our soul, in our hearts these days. That's why if somebody says something against Holocaust or tries to deny the Holocaust, it brings us Jewish people to the barricades. We immediately react to that defensively, because touching the Holocaust, you touch the apple of a Jewish eye of the Jewish community here in the United States. So we try to be very well-educated people. We try to be people who fight for justice. We try to be people who live good life, ethical life, and we are people who try to be good to others. But the core of our identity as the Jewish people, I mean, particularly here in the United States, is remembering Holocaust. We are the people who just have this deep, embedded victim mentality. We seriously, sometimes unconsciously, we still think that the whole world doesn't like us. That the world around us hates us. We see anti-Semitism in all possible places. And you know what? In many cases, for a good reason, unfortunately. But that's the way our life and our mentality and our soul is designed. We are the people of Holocaust of today. We are the people who feel victimized. And it just it influences our life and our relationship even with other people. That's why talking to Gentiles about good relationship with the Jewish people, I usually tell, first thing you need to remember, don't tell a Jewish joke to a Jewish person. Because you will make an average Jew very suspicious. Unless he or she knows you well enough. But recently I asked, what is the difference between Jewish understanding of Holocaust and Jewish answer to this question, what does it mean to be Jewish in different parts of the world? And I was asked this question because I'm originally from Ukraine, living for last almost 20 years in Berlin, Germany. So I was asked about how is this question answered there? And I thought for a minute and I said, you know what? It's pretty similar. In Ukraine, in Europe, in Germany, and in United States, we Jewish people, we feel ourselves as sort of victims. But there is a difference. In the United States, for Jewish people to feel victims means it's history. It's the Holocaust. For the Jewish people in Ukraine, it means we are suffering as a Jews right now. So we are victims right now. And for the Jewish people in Germany, it means we live in a fear that anti-Semitism is on the rise right now. So, you see, in all parts of the world, we are like victims. But in the United States, it's the history. In Ukraine, it's the present. In Germany, it's a fear of being victims soon. So that's probably the only difference. Now, just consider. The core of the Jewish identity and Jewish soul and mind for today is we are victims. In the United States, we are remembering Holocaust. It's the key identity marker. We are the people of Holocaust. Biblically, it's tragedy. Biblically and Torah-wise, it's a tragedy because our people, our Jewish people in the Bible were called to be the people of Exodus. It was our core identity for the entire biblical times. If you read the Bible, if you read the Torah, you will see everywhere God repeating this saying, I brought you out of Egypt because I brought you out of Egypt to serve me. So every time there is a such saying, if you read the prophets, the God of Israel was described as the God who brought Jewish people out of Egypt. And also by other nations, God was described as God who brought Jewish people out of Egypt. So people around us, and we as Jewish people, we identified ourselves as people of God who redeemed us, released us from the bondage in Egypt. That's why we're celebrating Passover Seder. And it's like a core celebration. It used to be the core celebration for the Jewish community. You see the difference? Originally, the people of Exodus. Currently, the people of the Holocaust. I personally can feel it. I could feel it. As I was growing up in the former Soviet Union, I knew what anti-Semitism means in real, practically. I was hated as a Jew. I was persecuted as a Jew. I was limited in my study and job opportunities because I'm Jewish. So I knew how it works. I passionately was willing to go out of the Soviet Union. You know, as a Jewish atheist, and I didn't believe in God at that time because it was, you know, it was not a nice thing, not an easy thing to believe in God. It was bad enough for me to be Jewish, so why to create any extra problems by believing in God? So I was willing to go to Israel, and as the former Soviet Union collapsed, I moved to Israel, and in Israel, I found my probably first, I had my first encounter with God by standing at the Wailing Wall. Many of you know my story. Just let me quickly repeat because it's relevant for what I'm talking this morning. I stood there at the Wailing Wall in Jerusalem and Old City, and I was overwhelmed with this feeling. Just I reached the destination. As a Jew, I just completed my journey. I'm standing here close to the, like, Zion, close to temple, just close to the geographical major point of the Jewish, on the Jewish map. And I touched the wall, and I instantly believed in God. I don't know how it happened, but just I instantly believed that God is real. He is here. I could see him almost. I could sense him. I could feel him. What God? God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. What else? God of Israel. Few months later, I decided to ask God about his guidance for my life. And again, I used the Wailing Wall. I put a note with my question to God in the Wailing Wall. And I promised him that I will never complain about his guidance. It was foolish promise. The very next day, he sent me back to Ukraine. I was complaining like crazy. As I get back to Ukraine, as I sought to finish my studies at the university there, I met my old Jewish friend who meanwhile became a believer in Jesus. And he started talking to me about Jesus. And now just imagine a nice, young, well-educated Jewish man talking to me about Jesus. Something is wrong in all that. I am Jewish. I don't believe in Jesus, and I know reason why I don't believe in Jesus. Because Jewish people don't believe in Jesus. That's the reason. I didn't need anything more. I mean, it was natural. So I started arguing with him, trying to convince him that he is wrong. I took the Bible. I was trying to read the Torah. I was trying to read through the Haftarah, through the prophets, just to show him that he believes wrongly. It's not right. At the same time, I was so jealous. His life changed. His life just, he seemed to be happy. He seemed to be peaceful, forgiving, loving. And I was so miserable, especially in comparison. You know, and as I had challenges or problems in my life, observing his life, I was going to him, telling him, you know, would you pray to your Jesus for Jesus to help me? You know, 1 year our competition was going on, and then he won. I failed. Just, I saw in the Bible, in the Torah, in the prophets, enough evidences for Jesus, for Yeshua in Hebrew, as the Messiah. And you know, as I decided to approach in prayer Yeshua as the Messiah for the first time, I prayed, and then 30 seconds later I was praying again, just something like, Father, if Jesus is not the Messiah, please forgive me, I made a mistake. I was scared. You know, what will my parents or my relatives say about it? What will other Jewish people tell concerning that? At that time, I seriously thought that in the whole universe, there are only two Jewish men who consider Yeshua, Jesus, to be the Messiah. My crazy friend and I. So I decided to wait with any decision for later. 3 months later, I landed in a situation where I needed the divine help. And for the first time in my life, I understood that I'm a sinner. You know, everybody is a sinner. I knew that. Everybody except me. I was not. Look, I never killed anybody, never committed any serious crime, never stolen anything for others to see that I'm stealing. I was trying to be nice, never used drugs, you know, never misused alcohol, got very good education and very good degree, was making my career. My parents were proud of me and could talk to our relatives freely about what I'm doing. I was very like nice Jewish boy, you know, just like a Jewish angel at that time, at least in my eyes. I try to do everything just for others to see how good I am. And at that very moment, that very day, I recognized that I'm not so good as I thought I was. I just recognized that there is so like spiritual, emotional dirt in my heart. So much hate, so much envy, so much unforgiveness, so much pride. So much desire to get good for myself on the expense of others. I know you can connect, as many of you can connect to this feeling, so I don't feel the worst in the room. Although on that day I did. I felt like the worst in the world. But, I just knew that I never committed any crime, not because I was so good, but because I was afraid of the consequences, you know, and I felt so bad, and I was in such a need. I needed his help, and I knew that my sin is like an obstacle, like a wall between me and God of Israel, who is able and who is willing to help me. And at that very moment, it was not important for me what other Jewish people will tell. It was not important for me what will be reaction of my parents. It was not important for me how many Jewish people are there in the world who believe in Yeshua. I just prayed. I tried to bring all my sin that I could see in my life to him. It was like a movie running in front of my internal eyes, so to speak. I was bringing that all to Yeshua. And after I finished my prayer, the stone of my sin that was so heavy for me, unbearable, half an hour earlier, has gone. I knew that I'm forgiven. I felt like a bird. I thought I can fly. I was flying for 2 weeks, as I usually say. Then God brought me back to earth. I'm walking since then. You know, the very same day, I came to a Messianic Jewish congregation in Kyiv, in Ukraine. It was still at that time. And I saw many Jewish people who believe in Yeshua. And now you will ask how relevant it is for what I'm trying to say this morning. You know, for the first time in my life, coming to the Messianic congregation, being with Yeshua, being with Jesus, I learned to appreciate the fact that I'm Jewish. For the first time, being Jewish made sense for me more than just Holocaust and being a victim surrounded by anti-Semites. For the first time in my life, it made biblical, spiritual, and historic sense for me to be Jewish. I saw the reason in the Bible. I saw the calling that God placed on my people to be the light of this world, to be the people of the Messiah, to be the people who are called not to be persecuted just, but we are persecuted because we keep to our calling we are similar to the Messiah in this regard. The Messiah suffered for the iniquities. The suffering Messiah, Yeshua, Jesus, is the representative, incarnation of his people, Israel. So there is a similarity even in our suffering. But at that time, observing all the prophecies about the Messiah, observing what Paul was writing about his calling, for the first time in my life, I got happy. And I'm not afraid to say that, and to say that I got proud to be Jewish. My dream of old was to become like everybody else. But back then, probably for the first time in my life, I was happy to stay in the way I am, being Jewish. You know, I just, if there is an interest among you, I would be delighted to talk more with you about how to reach out to your Jewish friends. I would be delighted to answer all your questions. I taught some seminars in this area, and they're recorded, so I can make the recording accessible for you to learn more about it. But for the sake of time, just let me proceed with some major things for all of us to consider and for you to understand. The Jewish people, we are absolutely the same as everybody else regarding our felt needs. You know, we're getting sick as everybody else. We have the same problems in our families as everybody else. We have the same challenges with our kids and grandkids as everybody else. We have the same struggles in the society as everybody else. So our felt needs as the Jewish people are the same. So regarding the gospel, regarding Yeshua, Jesus, as the response and the divine response to all our needs, we are the same. In the same way as everybody else, we are afraid of suffering and we are concerned about death. As everybody else, even if we don't believe in God, we still don't know what is there behind the door of the death. So we are similar in all these respects. So thinking of your Jewish friends, thinking of the Jewish people, we are not like aliens from another planet. We are not like supermen and superwomen who don't have any needs. We have the same needs, and Yeshua, Jesus, is the response of God for all the needs. So we are the same regarding the gospel. Yes, but you remember there is a Jewish yes, but usually we just, our theological conversations and discussions, it's not like yes, yes. It's not like no, no. It's like yes, but. So we're the same, yes, but there is something else. There is a difference regarding the gospel, and the difference is the gospel is essentially, initially, originally Jewish. That's the major difference. It's Jewish in its core. It's the good news for the Jews. It was prophesied in the Old Testament like this. It is also fulfilled like this. It's going to be completely fulfilled also in the future. So let me look with you at some passages from the Gospel of Luke really quickly. Like, if you would, please turn with me to Luke chapter 1. As the gospel was arriving and Yeshua was about to be born, and then he was born and presented to the people in the temple. So let's see some some things that were said. The angel of God talking to Miriam, to a Jewish young girl, who is in the translation called Mary. He tells her, do not be, in verse 30 and following, do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son. And you shall name him Yeshua, Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. And the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David. And he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and his kingdom will have no end. So, it's spoken about the King of the Jews. Just hear it with the ears of Mary, of a Jewish woman of that time. The angel is speaking. Here is somebody going to be born who is getting the throne of his father David, the throne of the Jewish king. And he will reign over the house of Jacob, Israel, forever. We keep following the text, and then as Mary was already pregnant, came to visit with Elizabeth, she was giving glory to God, and there is a song that she is singing, and in this song we read also these words in verse 50. And his mercy, he's talking about God, is upon generation after generation toward those who fear him. He has done mighty deeds with his arm. He has scattered those who were proud in the thoughts of their heart. He has brought down rulers from their thrones, and has exalted those who were humble. And he has filled the hungry with good things, and sent away the rich empty-handed. He has given help to Israel, his servant, in remembrance of his mercy, as he spoke to our fathers, to Abraham and his descendants forever. Again, it's about the descendants of Abraham. It's about the children of Israel. We keep reading in the same chapter, Zacharias praising God, and he says from verse 68 and following, blessed be the Lord God of Israel, for he visited us and accomplished redemption for his people, and has raised up a horn of salvation for us in the house of David, his servant, the King of the Jews. And he spoke by the mouth of his holy prophets from old, salvation from our enemies and from the hand of all who hate us, to show mercy toward our fathers and to remember his holy covenant, the oath which he swore to Abraham, our father, to grant us that we, being rescued from the hand of our enemies, might serve him without fear. That's about the seed of Abraham. It's about the Jewish people. It's about Israel. Salvation. It's not about being the people of Holocaust. It's even not about being the people of Exodus. It's about more. The salvation, redemption from the enemies is coming. The king is approaching. He is almost here, and then he is born. And in chapter 2, we read, as Yeshua was brought to the temple, there was another prophet who was praising God for what he's seen. So, Simeon in the temple, took Yeshua in his hands, and he said, from verse 29, Luke chapter 2, "Now, Lord, you are releasing your bondservant to depart in peace, according to your word. For my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the presence of all peoples, a light of revelation to the Gentiles, and the glory of your people, Israel." I'm so glad that that Gentiles are mentioned in this passage. I'm so happy about it. Because it's not to the Jew only, but it's to the Jew first. Just keep it in mind. When you share the gospel with the Jewish people, as you should, you're preaching not just a goyish, a Gentile-ish message. You're not preaching the good news to the Gentiles only, or the Gentiles first. You're not preaching the king of the world who came ex nihilo out of nothing, like from another planet, fell down. No. You're preaching the good news for the Jews that their king is coming. He is here. He is the savior for everybody. Tell to a Jewish people. Tell to my people that their king is there. The problem with the Jewish people, the major challenge is we cannot recognize him. Because he became, over almost 2,000 years, he became a Gentile. Or like a Gentile. The good news, the gospel, became absolutely clear and clean of everything Jewish. Please, do justice to the gospel. Please, do justice to Jesus as he really is. And preach him as the King of the Jews to the original receivers of this essentially Jewish message. That is also the message for all the nations. I'm sorry that the time runs so quickly. I need to release you for lunch. But let me just quickly mention something what I have with me. So we have two CDs of Ina with us there on that table. So if you'd like to get the CD, please feel welcome. This CD, some of you have already. This CD is just released 2 months ago, so it's a very new CD. If you will get these CDs, you will certainly enjoy it, I'm sure. If not, there is no money back guarantee. Because we are not able to afford that, so you will just need to give it to somebody else. So think twice before getting this CD. And there is a brochure. You got the brochure in your hands. It's about the ministry that we are partnering here while in United States, called Chosen People Ministries. You have the information about this ministry in this flyer. But also there is information about our family. And you see the picture. And you can see that our girls are a little bit older now. You can see that Ina is younger now. You can see that I stay the same, hopefully. But this picture as well as the brochure is 2 years old. The core information is there, so please take it to remember us. But there is also a card inside of this brochure. And this card, you see, there is like perforation for this car to be easily just easily separated from this car, from the brochure, like this, you see? You see how easy it is? Well, I would encourage you to get this card out of the brochure, so easy, to fill it out with your name and contact information for Chosen People Ministries to be able to send you our monthly prayer letters, as well as some other helpful information, free of charge. Anytime you can stop receiving it. And so please consider filling out this card and getting this card back to me before you leave, just in order to be our friend and partner in ministry. And for you to become just, to join our family in the outreach that among Jewish people that we're trying to do, both in Europe, currently here in Dallas, and wherever God leads us in the future. So please become our friend in direct communication with us by filling out this card. I want to once more tell that we highly appreciate you. We highly appreciate the class. We highly appreciate what you do for our ministry. Your support of our ministry as the Marathon Fellowship is, I mean, it's a very important part. Just, you are a blessing for us. Huge blessing. We love you. We appreciate you. I have this book with me called Isaiah 53 Explained. And it's not for you to get it just for your bookshelf. It's for you to give this book to your Jewish friend. So if you need this book, come to see me after this class. I have this book for free to give to your Jewish friend. So please think about this. And if you need more information, want to learn more about how to reach out to the Jewish people, I have my card with me, with my email and telephone number while here in the States. If you need more of these books or more materials for your Jewish friends or to understand the Jewish gospel, to speak to the Jewish people, please visit with me, contact me, write to me, call me. And again, God bless you. We love you. And we're one in the King of the Jews, Yeshua, who is also the King of all kings. May glory be to him. Amen.